Nevertheless, Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 32. As you know, my husband and I work at the same place, having the same job titles, co-pastor. Since both of us started to work full-time, we discussed about how we could divide the house chores wisely. After a long conversation, we reached a conclusion. I'm responsible for cooking, and Kuko would take on all the others. How does that sound? I think it is a fair and wise decision, because cooking requires a lot of creativity, and a creative job is very stressful and demand a lot of effort. Before Caleb was born, our division of house chores seemed okay. So Kuko was satisfied with his responsibilities, and I was happy with cooking. However, as one little troublemaker came out, every situation has changed. Kuko's amount of work has increased a lot, more dishes to wash, including countless baby stuff, baby bottles, teething toys, pacifiers, and etc. And more laundry, including baby clothes and blankets. You may remember how many clothes and blankets we got from Caleb's baby shower. As Kuko took on more chores to do, he changed his mind. He was no longer satisfied with his job. He used to meet my request as soon as possible, but now when I ask for him to do something, he does not do it right away, though he says, "Okay, I will." If I ask him again, he says, "I told you I will," but he just postponed it again and again. Even nowadays, when I ask him to do something, he even says, "No, I don't want to do it." But then he changes his mind, and he does what I asked him to do. Then I comfort him with two Bible verses. Psalm 126, 5 to 6 says, "Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain." And Romans 8:18 says, "I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us." Cheer up, Kuko, and don't be so sad. As Caleb grows, he will help you and take over your chores. Today's gospel scripture seems to talk about two irrelevant stories. But we can understand these two stories in terms of acknowledging the authority of Jesus. The first one is directly questioning the authority of Jesus. Jesus asked Jewish leaders who reacted negatively to both John and Jesus. Did the baptism of John came from heaven or was it of human origin? Whichever they choose, it means either they accepted John as a prophet or they believed Jesus. So they just answered, "We don't know." From this, I was thinking, what were they really afraid of? Although they knew the correct answer, they seemed to refuse to accept it, because then they should reflect their belief by deeds. And Jesus talked about two sons who don't obey the authority of their father. When a father asked his two sons to go and work in the vineyard, the first son answered, "I will not," but later he went. And the second son answered, "I will," but he didn't. This parable is not praising anyone because neither of them brought full joy to his father. Therefore, both two sons cannot be a perfect model of obedience. Nevertheless, Jesus recognized the first son because he obeyed his father in the end. Indeed, the first son knew what he had to do, but he followed it after all. Actually, this parable was directed at Jewish leaders. Although they insisted that they always follow God and the Pentateuch, which is teaching of Moses, in fact, they did not obey God. As they strongly opposed Jesus, they did not listen to the message of John the Baptist. They were just satisfied with their own righteousness, paying no attention to the truth. However, the tax collectors and the prostitutes were not asserting their own righteousness, but believing Jesus. Since they knew they desperately needed the grace of God, they opened their hearts toward God's grace. From Jewish letters, we find many of today's Christians who identify themselves as Christians but do not worship, do not attend service, or do not love. They just think that their baptism, their confirmation, or their vows to God made them full Christians. However, such attitudes do not bring any joy to God. If they truly believe that baptism is God's work and came from heaven, they should prove their belief through not only their words, but also their deeds. As James chapter 2 verse 17 said, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. Look back on our life. Many times, we made our faith dead in various ways. Even though we made a lot of promises and confessions in front of Jesus, we did not actually live them out. We need to remember that no one can make their faith alive only through verbal pledges or confessions. No action means no faith. Sometimes, life brings us into a problematic situation that is difficult to understand and difficult to accept. Even Jesus had a matter that he wanted to avoid. So he prayed to God asking, "Let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, when Jesus made it through by faith, he could rejoice over the victory. There is a saying that the one trying to wear the crown withstand the weight. Last week, I shared about the weight of being a parent. Also, sometimes I think being Christians has a lot of weight to bear. Because in the true sense of word, a title of Christian is not just given from baptism, confirmation, or membership vows. As Christians, each of us may be struggling with one's own challenges. What makes you feel it is difficult to live as Christians? For some people, attending Sunday service is quite a challenge. For them, Sunday is the only day to rest or enjoy personal interest. And to be involved in service is a challenge for some people, because they might not have enough time and energy. Also, giving a tithe is a challenge for some people because it could be too much for them or they cannot afford it. And some others struggle for some other reasons. So they think, if I don't have anything else to do on Sunday, or if I have more time and energy, or if I have more money, I will do it. But do we really know when that is? When that is? However, some people nevertheless just do it by faith. Sometimes they do it with sighs and tears, but then they see God who works over the situation. When we follow it by faith, the grace of God brings us a full joy of victory. Today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday was started in 1940 as a Presbyterian-led initiative of the Federal Council of Churches toward ecumenical celebration of communion. At the time, most United States churches celebrated communion infrequently and rarely on the same schedule. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, addressed Holy Communion as a means of grace, which means communion can be a channel of experiencing God's grace. So he recommended us to partake in it as often as we can. Today, as we partake in the Lord's table, I hope and pray that you all decide to admit and accept the authority of Jesus and his lordship again or for the first time in your life. And listen to him. Grip tightly what he said to you today. Make Jesus a top priority of your life. When you have him as top priority in your heart and mind, you can truly follow and obey Jesus. It is not easy and comfortable, but nevertheless, when you start it, you can begin your true worship not only here in this place, but also in your life. Remember, the people who nevertheless believe it, nevertheless follow it, nevertheless do it, will go and see the kingdom of God. Praise God. Amen.